Testing, testing. Good morning. Welcome to the state member meeting. This thing echoes. It's delayed. Can you hear me?
Sounds good.
The time come up, and it takes a few seconds for it to start recording. I have a little delay, and then you talk into the microphone, make sure you can hear it. Now there's volume control down there.
Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proof publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana from the Advocate, Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 43881 through 43927 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30, the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest. We did receive a letter of protest on track number 43854, 43855, 43856, 43860, and 43861, which were advertised for the April 9th lease sale. We received these letters on April 15th, 2014. They were from Williams Land Company, LLC. The letter was dated April 3rd. These tracts were up for bid at the April sale, and they were reviewed by the staff prior to the sale, and they did have claimable water bottoms, so the tracts did remain up. Today's sale, we have received a letter from BHP Billiton Petroleum requesting that the acreage be removed, that tract numbers 43884, 43885, 43914 through 43919, and 43922 through 43925 be withdrawn, removed from today's sale, and re-advertised for public bid at a later date. Notifications of tract to be withdrawn. Tract numbers 43884, 43885, and 43914 through 43919 and 43922 through 43925 will be recommended by the staff to be withdrawn and will be taken up in the nomination and tract committee meeting. All bids received on these tracts will be returned unopened at the conclusion of today's board meeting. Okay, we will now proceed with the opening of the bids. Thank you.
Received one bid on track 43881, advertised as 1,983.29 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 304.01 acres. 304.01 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a 5-year primary term with a cash payment of $64,146.11. Or a per acre value of $211. Annual rentals are $32,073.06. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43882 or 43883. We are recommending that tracks 43884 and 43885 be withdrawn from today's lease sale. We did receive one bid on track 43886, advertised as 30 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $5,310. Or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $2,655. Royalties are 20%. We received two bids on track 43887, advertised as 34 acres, and the first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is HK TMS LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $11,118. Or a per acre value of $327. Annual rentals are $5,559. Royalties are 20%. The second bid on track 43887 is for the entire track, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $6,018. Or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $3,009. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43888, advertised as 11 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is HK TMS LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,597. Or a per acre value of $327. Annual rentals are $1,798.50. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43889, advertised as 27 acres. The bid is for the entire tract, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, LLC. It should be Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,779. $4,779, or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $2,390. $2,390. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43890, advertised as 28 acres. The bid is for the entire tract, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,956. $4,956, or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $2,478. $2,478. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43891, advertised as 82 acres. The bid is for the entire tract, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash bonus of $14,514. $14,514, or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $7,257. $7,257. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on track 43892. We did receive one bid on track 43893, advertised as 28 acres. The bid is for the entire tract, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,956. $4,956, or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $2,478. $2,478. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43894, advertised as 26 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,602. $4,602, or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $2,301. $2,301. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43895 or 43896. We did receive one bid on track 43897, advertised as 13.93 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,465.61. $2,465.61. Or a per acre value of $177. Annual rentals are $1,233. $1,233. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on track 43898. We did receive one bid on track 43899, advertised as 4 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Endeavor Natural Gas, LP. Endeavor Natural Gas, LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,000. $2,000. Or a per acre value of $500. Annual rentals are $2,000. $2,000. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 43900, advertised as 197 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 111.16 acres. 111.16 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $22,232. $22,232, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $11,116. $11,116. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43901, 902, or 903. We did receive one bid on track 43904, advertised as 1,619.23 acres. This bid is for a portion containing 93.11 acres. 93.11 acres. The bidder is Swift Energy Operating, LLC. Swift Energy Operating, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $37,967.46. $37,967.46. Or a per acre value of $407.77. Annual rentals are $18,983.73. $18,983.73. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43905, 43906, or 43907. We did receive one bid on track 43908, advertised as 1,400 acres. This bid is for a portion containing 369 acres. 369 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $103,320. $103,320, or a per-acre value of $280. Annual rentals are $51,660. $51,660. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on track 43909. We did receive one bid on track 43910, advertised as 1,711 acres. This bid is for a portion containing 339 acres. 339 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $94,920. $94,920, or a per-acre value of $280. Annual rentals are $47,460. $47,460. Royalties are 22%. We received one bid on track 43911, advertises 1,009 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 55 acres. 55 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $19,360. $19,360, or a per-acre value of $352. Annual rentals are $9,680. $9,680. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on track 43912. We did receive one bid on track 43913, advertised as 1,155.73 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 205.17 acres. 205.17 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $90,069.63. $90,069.63, or a per acre value of $439. Annual rentals are $45,034.82. $45,034.82. Royalties are 22%. We are recommending to withdraw tracks 43914, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. We received one bid on track 43920, advertised as 129 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $32,895. $32,895. Or a per acre value of $255. Annual rentals are $16,448. $16,448. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 43921, advertised as 538 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 41 acres. 41 acres. The bidder is Riceland Petroleum Company. Riceland Petroleum Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,382. $12,382. Or a per acre value of $302. Annual rentals are $6,191. $6,191. Royalties are 25%. We are recommending to withdraw track 43922, 43923, 43924, and 43925. We received one bid on track 43926, advertises 80.36 acres. This bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $48,858.88. $48,858.88, or a per acre value of $608. Annual rentals are $24,429.44. $24,429.44. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 43927, advertised as 86.88 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $52,823.04. $52,823.04, or a per acre value of $608. Annual rentals are $26,411.52. $26,411.52. Royalties are 25%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of bids meeting. The committee meetings will begin around 9:30. Thank you.
Have you been able to talk to Cox about quarantine?
Only.
Good morning, guys. I'd like to call together the Lease Review Committee.
I got one better.
I'll start off with our roll call. Mr. Segura. Mr. Bourier.
Here.
Mr. Schuss.
Here.
Mr. Pedero.
Here.
Mr. Lambert. Mr. Morton. Mr. Sanders. Mr. Smith. Mr. Klein.
Here.
Mr. Hike.
Here.
And myself, we do have a quorum. Let's go ahead and call on staff to go ahead and make our presentation and report.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman and members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda.
Excuse me, Jensen. I'm sorry. I need to interrupt you. Is there anyone here representing Rystone Petroleum? Okay. No. Thank you, Jason.
Jason, I do appoint you as a me as well.
Thank you. Yeah, let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,804 active leases covering nearly 754,000 acres. The GME staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 124 leases covering approximately 77,000 acres. And of that 124, there are six leases within three fields to discuss in more detail today. Let's begin with State Lease 195C, Quarantine Bay Field, operated by Cox Operating LLC. The committee last reviewed this lease on May 8, 2013. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Cox Operating's report and grant Cox until April 8, 2014, reporting the drilling of an exploratory well and the continued development on the lease. By letter dated April 8, 2014, Cox reported that their exploratory well, the State Lease 195, number 338, sidetrack, was spun on November 5, 2013, and drilled to a depth of 13,939 feet measured depth. After evaluation of the reached target and due to mechanical problems in the well, Cox decided to plug the well. Total cost of the well reached $12.4 million. Data from the well has been incorporated into the geological model of the area. Also, in 2013, Cox completed three workovers and one coil tubing cleanout. These activities added 50 barrels per day of production to the field. Cox continues to involve outside expertise in performing a detailed study of the field. The study is expected to be completed within this quarter of 2014. By way of update on Cox's inactive well bore program, cement plugs were set across perforations of 12 wells at a cost of $1.3 million. The staff recommends accepting Cox's report and granting Cox until April 8, 2015 to report on their continued development on the lease. Moving on to Lake Rackesee Field, State Lease 1450, 1451, 1480, and 14589. Exxon Mobil Corporation is our lessee. The committee last reviewed these leases on June 13, 2013. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to extend Exxon Mobil Corporation spud date to April 1st, 2014. By letter dated March 31, 2014, ExxonMobil reported that Hillcorp Energy 1 LP had entered a firm agreement on July 1, 2013, covering all of ExxonMobil's interest in the above referenced leases. Hillcorp spud the State Lease 1480 number 1 well on July 31, 2013, and drilled to a total depth of 15,718 feet measured depth. The well was deemed to drill hole and P&A on December 31, 2013. ExxonMobil is currently evaluating the results of the well and has requested additional time to prepare their report to the State Renewable Energy Board. The staff recommends accepting ExxonMobil's report, and ExxonMobil will be granted until December 10, 2014 to provide a development plan for the southern portions of State Lease 1450, 1451, and 1480. As for State Lease 14589, the staff has begun separate discussions on development with ExxonMobil and the lease operator Forza Operating LLC. Moving on to State Lease 340-G and its designated areas 1 through 5. At West Coast Bluffs Bay Field, La Bay Exploration, Castex Energy, Energy 21, and Apache Corporations are our lessees. The staff is bringing this lease and its associated designated areas to be included on the lease review agenda. This area, State Lease 40, has been reassigned and is currently subleased by the parties referenced above. The Bay Exploration LLC has been previously notified by the staff of its desire to put this acreage on a release schedule. They in turn began the process to circulate a release of some 3,000 acres of this acreage. Once the first schedule release is executed, the schedule will require a 6-month interval by which the parties will have the option to commit to drill a well or release additional 3,000 acres. Any well commitment will put the schedule out of balance and require adjustments of the release schedule. The ultimate goal of the schedule is to have all 15,000 acres released by June 1, 2016, should no wells be drilled. The particulars of the schedule are outlined in your agenda packet. Any questions?
Well, thank you for your staff report and recommendations. Any comments or questions from the committee?
We have two more. Just mentioned, we approved two 2090 waiver letters to Hillcorp Energy and Apache Corporation. And that concludes my portion of this.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from the public? Do I have a motion to approve staff's recommendation? The move, Mrs. Segura, second by Mrs. Schutz. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yes. Sure.
Chairman. Whichever chairman.
Whatever committee you want, you tell us.
Okay. Just for my own edification, give me an explanation as to why the active state lease number and acreage changes each meeting and what that really means so I can have an appreciation.
Well, the reason is because, of course, every month we add new leases to the count, but we also, acreage has expired. So you have some leases that are at the end of their primary term. They haven't established production, so those leases expire.
So as of this date, we have 1,804 active state leases in the state.
That's correct.
Before today's lease sale.
Okay.
Right, that's correct, before today's lease.
So that's what those numbers mean as we look at these numbers each particular meeting.
Right. So it's dynamic, it changes each month.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
To call to order the Tom Nomination Tract Evaluation Committee meeting. It's time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold. Mr. Pouillette.
Here.
Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Lambert. Martin. Sanders. Daryl Smith. Chip Klein. Ms. Hike.
Here.
We have a quorum, and I appoint Emil Fontenot as my designee. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 47 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the May 8, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 35 nominations for processing and advertisement. Items B and C should be taken together. They are a request to withdraw. Item B is staff is requesting to withdraw tracts 43884, 43885, situated in DeSoto Parish, Louisiana, and tracts 43914 through 43919, and tracts 43922 through 43925, all in Red River Parish, Louisiana. We also have a request by DHB Billiton Petroleum to withdraw those same tracts, being 43884, 43885, 43914 through 43915, and 43922 through 43925, and re-advertise said tracts for public bid, all of these tracts again being in Red River Parish, Louisiana. In the letter of protest from BHP, it states, and I quote, BHP has learned that Chesapeake has requested that these tracts be removed from today's lease sale so that an operating agreement can be negotiated between the parties, end of quote. These are title disputed tracts currently under litigation. We inadvertently omitted advertising additional terms, conditions, and minimums. And as a result, those tracts were improperly advertised, and we're requesting that the aforementioned tracts be withdrawn due to the disputed tracts.
Thank you. I need a motion and second to accept the staff's recommendation.
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Brian. Any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
We have an item from last week's lease sale. It was a letter of protest from Williams Land Company, LLC, received April the 15th, 2014, pertaining to tracts 43854, 855, 856, 860, and 861, situated either in Iberia, Assumption, or St. Martin Parishes, Louisiana. We received the above-mentioned letters on April the 15th, protesting tracts for last month's April 9th mineral lease sale. These letters were certified, receipt return requested, dated April the 4th, 2014. We have reviewed our most current water bottom layer, and there were both state claim water bottoms and private ownership within the tracts advertised for the April 9th, 2014 lease sale. Had we received these protest letters timely, we would have stated to the nomination and tract committee that the said tracts were advertised correctly and should be left up for that April 9th, 2014 mineral lease sale. We received one bid each and awarded a lease on tracts 43854, 43855, and 43860. We did not receive any bids on tracts 43856 or 43861. This is advisory in nature and no action is needed. The next item, 39 nominations received by the Office of Mineral Resources for the July 9, 2014 lease sale are pending approval by the Board for advertising. For the July 10, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 82 nominations for advertisement. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at this office for the July 9, 2013 lease sale.
Okay, need a motion and a second to accept staff's motion by Mr. Schutz, second by Mr. Klein. Any public comment? Comments from the committee? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Yesterday, around 12:25, Energy 21 requested to withdraw their desire to approach the board for an EGA, an exclusive geophysical agreement. Due to timing, they preferred to approach the board at a later date, perhaps a couple of months from now, and staff has no problems with withdrawing this request at this time.
Thank you. Motion and second.
Motion
by Mr. Newell, second by Mr. Hike. Any public comment? Comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
And the final item, Mr. Cordero, is a request by Castec Energy to reduce the non-exclusive seismic fee. Unlike the exclusive geophysical agreement, non-exclusive seismic surveys are handled by a permit process. The permit fee has been established and readopted every 6 months by this board. Currently, fees are set at $15 per acre for lands under the jurisdiction of wildlife and fisheries and $10 per acre for all other state lands and water bottoms belonging to the state. Castec Energy respectfully requests a seismic reduction fee of $12 per acre on areas under the jurisdiction of wildlife and fisheries and a seismic reduction fee of $7 per acre on all other state land and water bottoms belonging to the state in return for the data of the entire seismic shoot. We've also got confirmation from Wildlife and Fisheries that they are agreeable to this reduction as well, and the staff recommends that the board reduce the fees as mentioned above.
Thank you. A motion and second to accept staff recommendation. Motion by Mr. Klein, second by Mr. Bouillette.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is there a certain amount of acreage involved here?
Is there what?
The acreage involved for non-exclusive seismic. How many acres are you looking for? To shoot. Because the motion seems like it's covering the whole state.
Hi, if I may address the board for the record, my name is Byron Miller. I'm the geologist supervisor in charge of seismic permits. The entire shoot itself is 440 square miles. Some 280,000 acres. The estate acreage portion is about 120,000, with 20,000 additional acres of wildlife and fisheries.
Okay, that's all. I'll make sure we have someone that's on the motion. That's all.
I have a question. What's the reason for the request?
The reason for the request is that we will receive a copy of the entire data set, all the seismic data that's been shot in that survey, and this is a relatively unexplored area. It will be state-of-the-art data, and actually this is really the only mechanism the state has to secure seismic data. We do these seismic permit reductions, the fee reductions frequently. We've done perhaps a dozen or so of these in the past, and this is a great opportunity for the state.
It also enhances our geological staff to accurately recommend to the board the most advantageous amount of per acre value these bids we're receiving.
Is this a discretion with your department? This recommendation discretionary?
Yes, well, the board sets seismic permit fees.
But I mean, do you have a standard by which you make a recommendation to the board? My concern would be, are we setting a precedent?
We've done this in the past in exchange for the information.
We've done this many times. Yes, this is not unusual.
And the seismic fee far outweighs the reduction.
Yes, if I may elaborate a little bit, the data set that we will be getting is a tremendous value. It's roughly state-of-the-art data goes for $30,000 a square mile if you were to buy it on the retail market. So this is a $13 million data set that we'll be getting. Pennies on the dollar, 4 cents. For 4 cents of fee reduction, we get a dollar's worth of data.
My concern would not be with the merits of what you're suggesting, sir. My concern would be whether or not your department has any kind of written policy, or is it left within an unwritten discretionary recommendation to the board?
Unwritten recommendation.
I'll address that. I don't believe we have a written policy on that. We make the recommendation to the board when we receive such a request. We don't receive requests very often. We don't have requests for seismic permits very often. But as Mr. Arnold pointed out, the board has reduced the fee in the past for the similar amount in exchange for receiving the data.
And I understand that. I appreciate that. My concern would be whether or not there'd be a written policy within the department that addresses that issue so that those in the future would have that policy to follow.
Of course, I'm Rick Heck, an attorney, as well as what you're asking is whether or not the staff has the discretion or whether or not this is a policy of the board. The staff itself does not have that discretion to accept or reject those kinds of...
That's not exactly what I'm asking. What I'm asking is whether or not the department has or your office has a written policy.
The office does not have a written policy.
Of recommendation.
Right. Their recommendations are based solely upon whether or not receiving the data from a particular area would benefit the state or not. Some areas receiving the data may not benefit the state that much. In this particular area, we had no other data, so it would benefit the state. And that's the discretionary part. It's not a policy.
And I understand that. It's my thought that there should be some type of written policy with regards to that type of conclusion which you would bring to the board. I'm not objecting to what you're trying to do.
Right. I guess my question would be this. What would be the discretionary part about whether you want, there's no discretion about whether to bring it to the board, or do you want to have a policy that says anytime something like this comes up, we bring it to the board?
Well, you just said that the the purpose for the recommendation is to benefit the state.
Right. Yes.
And my thought is that that should be articulated somewhere within your department in a written policy so that there is something concrete that you bring to the board rather than just, in all deference, Mr. Heck is making such a recommendation. It might not be Mr. Heck here 10 years from now.
Right.
Am I making myself clear?
I think, I understand what your question is, but the answer is going to be dependent upon the data.
If I can just interject, the way that the policy is currently set up, the dollar amounts that are set are for us not receiving the information. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and so the amounts that are proposed here, are they consistent with proposals that have been made in the past where we have obtained the data?
That's correct. They are.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes.
And so to come up with sort of a policy of how we come to these decisions and what we look through, basically your thought process, would that be a problem?
No, it wouldn't be a problem. We'll come up with something that makes it on a policy level. That's not a problem.
That would support your recommendation to the board.
Right.
It's basically, I think, what you do. It's just sort of formalizing that, I think, is Mr.
Okay.
Request.
Okay.
You said it better than I did, Mr. Secretary, and I was trying to get there, and I think that would be prudent, in my mind at least.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Very good.
Any other comments from the committee? Public comments? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. This motion is second to adjourn this committee. Motion by Mr. Briette, second by Mr. Segura. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Committee is closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Butler.
I'd like to take a roll call from the Audit Committee. Mr. Lambert? Mr. Padilla?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Bruyere?
Here.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
And myself, would you have a forum? Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
I want you as our designee.
Thank you. Item number one on the Audit Committee agenda is the staff report to the committee that the election for May 2014 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. Items number two and three are for executive session.
Got a motion going to executive session to discuss items two and three.
Move.
Mr. Klein, second by Mr. Gore. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, we're in executive session.
Why is it?
Let me call the Audit Committee out of executive session. Rachel, you have a recommendation on this item?
Staff recommends that the board accept the offer as presented in executive session on item number three.
You have heard a sense on a recommendation on item four?
Is it item three?
Three.
Item three? No. Is there a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Is there a motion to accept or a second?
I'll second.
Has been moved and seconded. Any comments or questions by the committee? Except $100,000 settlement. Yes, sir, Mr. Hyde.
I'm going to vote to reject it, and the reason is that
just a settlement.
I certainly respect the recommendations of the staff, But I believe that we need to explore other avenues with regards to this individual and his company. I have not heard anything in terms of what the total assets of this individual is or the assets of that particular company. I just believe that we should be more aggressive in addressing this issue, that it may very well set a bad precedent, and as a result, am I in order for a substitute motion, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
My substitute motion would be to reject the staff recommendation and recommend that the staff prepare a lawsuit against that individual and his company.
There's been a substitute motion. Is there a second to that substitute motion? Mr. Cohen, has been a second to substitute motion? Is that correct? Any comments or questions to the substitute motion? Any comments or questions?
I've got a clarification.
Yes, sir.
Possible. The company that you refer to, you say that it is against the individual and the company or companies. The companies that are subject to this audit no longer exist. Is that, which companies are you referring to?
You tell me. We talked about the fact that he was personally.
Correct.
And by one of his companies, I thought that at least one of his companies did exist.
So it would be as against the former companies and...
Yes, sir.
And, okay. Thank you. Just need to
clarify. What is the name of that company?
Rachel, do you have the specific name of the company?
The company that was under audit is Gold King Operating Company Incorporated.
Thank you.
What is it, ma'am?
Gold King Operating Company Incorporated.
Where's Mr. Lambert? Is he not?
Actually, just so we do have a substitute motion that has been seconded. What I would like to do is if we go to recess quickly so we can open up the mineral board meeting. Is that possible? Can we do that? And then come back to this so we have more time to discuss. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can go to recess.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Here, now we're in recess, and we'll take this up very shortly.
All right, this time we'll open the regular board meeting. Can we have a roll call?
Yes, sir. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Briette?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders? Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Shannon, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to go into recess of the regular board meeting so we can finish our committee meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're in recess.
Thank you. I'd like to reopen the audit committee. Mm-hmm. We're discussing item 3. Just to recap, we are in a substitute motion. If someone could reread that, Mr. Ryan, or from the best recollection.
I believe that the substitute motion was to reject the staff's offer with a replacement motion to file suit against the individual and his former companies. Is that about right?
Yes, sir. That is my substitute motion, and it's been seconded.
Correct.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public?
What's that?
Is anyone opposed to this motion?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we had a second. Yes, sir, Mr. Lambert.
Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, the substitute motion passes. I believe that's it. Everything on the agenda?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
That was quick.
All right. This time I'd like to open the Legal and Title Controversy Committee and designate, I guess, Mr. Heck and Mr. Fontenot to present the information to us.
Okay.
do we need to call a roll? Yeah, I'm the vice chairman, so.
Okay. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Burriett is present. Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert? Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders? Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
All right. Gentlemen, item one.
Good morning. Item one is a request by QEP Energy for an extension of time to negotiate an operating agreement of 30 days or until June the 11th. This is on 600 acres in Red River Parish. We've been negotiating with them. It just needs to be finalized, and the staff does recommend they'll be given the extra 30 days or until June the 11th, whichever comes first.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
All right, we have a motion to accept item one, staff recommendation by Mr. Arnold. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Burriett. Any discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item two.
Okay, item two is a request by Texas Gas Exploration for the board to authorize a release of funds that are in the registry of the court. In this particular case, there was a suit filed in 1984 by Texas Gas entitled over some property. The case was tried in 19... Money was taken out of escrow and put into the registry of the court. In 1990, the case was tried and the state lost. And in 1993, there was a final disposition of the case, as well as most of the money was dispersed. However, there was supposed to be a final audit of the funds that are in the registry of the court, which has been done, and now Texas Gas would like the monies released from the court to them as per the judgment. The state does have to okay the release of the funds. The staff does recommend that the board give approval to release the funds. The state has no interest in them.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
Yes, I just want to know.
The interest
motion.
Who gets the interest on this money as it's being held in escrow?
The winner of the suit, which is Texas Gas, they get it.
We lost the suit in the early 1990s,
right.
And the judgment said that we have no claim to the money at all. So, and it's an unappealable final judgment at this point.
Typically, when money is deposited in a concursus, I guess such as this, where we don't really, where we haven't lost the suit, does the state have an interest in that?
We would have an interest in it as to the amount that we either settle or cast in judgment for, yes. And we would get that share of the interest minus the court's costs.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Lambert. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Item three.
Item three is a request by staff for final approval of a unitization agreement between the state and Hillcore Energy Company et al. It's to finalize approval of the LWCC-3RASU unit. It's in Lake Washington Field in Plaquemine Parish. It's on the docket. It's item number 14-11. It incorporates 32.09 acres of state lease, 212 in a 199.72 acre unit. The staff does recommend approval.
All right. Any discussion or questions on that item three?
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a move by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation. Second by Mr. Lambert. Any further questions or discussions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item four.
Item four is a request for a final approval of unitization agreement involving the state, Apache Shelf, Inc., and Apache Corporation. and involves 40 acres, and it's called the 7200 VUB unit. It's in South Pass Block 24 Field in Plaquemine Parish. It incorporates 31.945 acres of state lease 1924. It's on the docket as item number 14-12, and the staff does recommend approval.
Any questions and discussion on item 4? We have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation on item 4. Second by Mr. Burrett. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 5.
Okay. Item 5 is a request for final approval of an operating agreement between the state and Roselle Exploration LLC. It's creating a unit that an operating agreement that will give us the state a 25% before payout and a 25.3% interest after payout. It includes 12.96 acres of state lease 2102. It's on the docket as item 14-13. The staff does recommend final approval.
All right. Any questions or discussion? We have a motion by Mr. Lambert to accept the staff's recommendations. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Bouillet. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Next item.
Okay, next item is a recommendation for final approval of two operating agreements. These two operating agreements come from what was once one lease. It involves the state and Palm Energy Offshore LLC, and it creates two units which would give us 22% before payout and 23% after payout. One includes is an 83.94 acres, state acres, and the other is 40 acres of former state lease, state lease 18936, and it's on the docket as item 14-14 and 14-15, and the staff does recommend final approval.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Lambert to approve the staff's recommendations for item 6. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Klein. Any discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item 7.
Okay, the next item is a request for final approval of a voluntary unit agreement involving the state and Attic Investment Corporation. It improves and unitizes 1,991.56 acres. And it involves pooling of portions of former state leases 20482, 20781, 20967, 20968, and 21363. It's in Plaquemine Parish, and it's on the docket as item number 14-6, and the staff does recommend final approval.
All right. Item 7, I have a motion by Mr. Lambert.
Rick, what is the difference between a voluntary unit agreement and a unitization agreement that we approved a couple items ago?
A unitization agreement, the voluntary unit is a unit, of course, which is constructed by individual, the state and companies. Unitization agreement is the form that we use, because what happens is with a commissioner's unit, the commissioner forms the unit, and so they don't require board approval for that. But it's the form itself. When you approve the form, it's the form we use for voluntary units.
All right, Mr. Lambert. Mm-hmm.
If a voluntary unit is if you have a form that when you unitize, right?
Mr. Lambert, use your microphone.
Is your microphone on? I don't care.
If they don't agree,
right?
You
You do it farm. We have a farm. Is that correct?
What happens is if ILSCs don't agree to unitization,
right,
then they would have to go to a we'd have to go to a commissioner to form a unit. We don't have the power to force them to unitize.
Right, but if they do agree,
yes,
what happens?
Then we sign the voluntary unit agreement, which
and
is
they
a contract.
Don't go, but the state is represented in that.
Well, of course, the state is part of it, including right. state acreage.
So you don't go to the
commissioner for a voluntary unit. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, item number 8 is a request for final approval of...
By the way, I think we had a motion by Mr. Lambert, but we didn't have a second.
Second,
on the 7th.
Sorry.
Second.
Second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.
Okay. Next item is a request for final approval of an operating agreement between the state and TPIC. It creates an operating unit agreement which will give us a 16.67% before payout and 22% after payout, involving 370.99 acres of former state lease 1409. It's on the docket as item 14-17. And this unit is only shut in because there's a leak in the flow line. Once the leak is repaired, this unit is ready to go in production.
All right. Do we have any questions or discussion?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Moved by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation. Second by Mr. Lambert. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 9.
Okay. Item number 9 is a request for a final approval of an operating agreement between the state and TPIC and creates, an operating agreement involving 68.67% before payout and 22% after payout to the state. Involves 78.01 acres of former state lease 4409. It's on the docket as item number 14-18. The staff does recommend final approval.
Excuse me, Mr. Heck, I want to clarify on item number 8, that was state lease 4409, is that correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
Thank
I'm sorry.
You.
Any questions or discussion? We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation for approval. Second by Mr. Bouillet. Mr. Lambert.
Let me ask you this. Is there a range that you shoot for the state's percentage?
Yes. It depends on what the state would get in that area if we gave a lease, and then we try to get a little higher, and then, of course, the after payout is higher because they don't have to bid on it. There's no competition. So we usually try to get a little bit higher than we would for leases in that area.
And that percentage is as high as it's always been. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We usually try to get the top in that area.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to follow up on what Mr. Lambert was questioning, because I had some of the same questions a minute ago, and that is that I noticed as I read through staff reports that the royalty on the front end, if you will, and the royalty on the back end were different.
Right.
And it was explained to me the reasons for that, and that is that
this is an operating agreement, not a lease.
Right?
Right.
And in addition to that, various recommendations on various leases have different percentages. For instance, with one lease, it's 22% on the front end. Another lease, it's 16% on the front end,
right.
And that has to do with certain circumstances. That has to do with the circumstances involved with that particular project, correct?
That has to do with what the typical, if we gave a lease in that area, what would the lease get? We try to get a little higher because there's no competition.
I'm talking about the front end now.
The front end, because you have to have, in a not bid situation, we can't have across the board. So, yes, it's less at the front end, more at the back end. Because there's always a chance that we might not reach the back end.
I understand that. But what I observed as I read the recommendations is that percentage changes from project to project.
Correct.
Sometimes it's 16%, 16.67. Another one, in our recommendations, it's 22.5%,
right,
or whatever.
And that depends on what the typical leasing in that area would get if we were putting it up for lease,
Mr.
plus a little bit more.
Mr. Vaughn and I had a discussion about that really earlier this morning. My question to you is whether or not that standard that's used by the department is a written policy or written standard which describes your discretionary authority.
No. There's no
why?
Written.
Why? Why?
Well, because there's no authority that we have. The board is the one that has the authority. All we do is recommend.
Okay, I use the wrong word. Why would you not have a written policy with regards to what you're recommending to us? Why is it left to whomever makes that judgment?
What we use is, in this case of the one that Mr. Heck is referring to now, the proposed operating agreement for a sixth before payout and 22% after payout, I believe.
This one.
Yeah, a lot of times it depends on the circumstances of why we're doing the operating agreement. In this case, it was... as I mentioned earlier, the wells, this lease actually went off production in 2009 prior to TPIC purchase buying this lease. The lack of production in 2009 for a period of, that exceeded 90 days, this lease terminated. And it was in two portions. The old lease royalty was a sixth.
I'm not questioning that particular project. I'm not questioning your reasoning there. What I'm asking is, why should there not be some written policy that we could review as to what you base your recommendations to the board upon, similar to the request that I made earlier on... You know, your recommendations.
I mean, there is sort of a written policy, is a statute that requires that we get a before and after payout interest, and it outlines the certain cases where we can do an operating agreement. And in this case, it was a well on unleased acreage, and it was a well within a producing unit. The well had actually been placed back on production. And when we do an operating agreement, our engineering staff, they request information from TPIC regarding what work they have planned, the cost, the AFEs, and they get all this, and they use that and calculate what the reserves are to be produced, we estimate that, and we do the before payout interest of how much reserves is going to take, and then how much reserves remains that we'll get, hopefully, if the well pays.
I'm questioning all of that.
No, sir, we don't have written policy.
Mr. Langer has a question.
Yeah, I would like to address his question, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but just tell me. First of all, it's not regulated by statute or by a policy here. There's a policy that has evolved over a long time that has become a customary approach to it. And I think there's competition in it in this respect. if a company has to make a decision whether to drill in Texas or in Louisiana, I would think if it's like circumstances, you know, we're probably right in line with what Texas, is that right? Am I right?
I think we're probably a little bit better than Texas.
Okay, well, but what I'm saying, there's something out there in the marketplace that is causing them to move up or down. Now, a field itself, it seems to me, would have a value based on its history, an area. And they know maybe in one area it just hasn't produced that well, and so they, maybe it's 16, okay? But they try to catch it on the back end. If in other words, it's going to be harder to find oil, maybe, or gas, or whatever they look for. Am I close to the system you're using?
Well, you're right as to how we evaluate a field, but there is no set series of rules that we have for setting what we're asking for. It depends on what the going price in that area is.
They're using competition and value to do it. And
I mean, if there's a certain amount of activity, if there's a lot of activity in the next year in that area, then our recommendations for the before and after payouts will go up. But the set of policies saying we do it this way and this way right now would not take into account that.
Every bucket sits on its own bottom, so to speak, within an area.
Ms. Tyler has a comment.
Yeah. Mr. Lake, as you suggest, we will adopt a policy that will contain our basic procedures, but because market conditions change daily, we won't be able to include financial parameters in those procedures, but it will state basically how we evaluate it and how we come to our recommendations.
And I think that would be appropriate. We don't have it now, right?
Okay.
All right.
Have you voted on this one yet?
No. Did we have a motion?
I make a motion to accept. Senator McDonald, a second by Mr. Klein. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Thank you.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
I believe you're on 10. I'm on 10 now?
We're on item 10.
Yep,
okay.
Item 10.
Item 10 is a request for final approval of an operating agreement with BHP Billiton to create an operating track which has a 25% before payout and a 26.5% after payout. It involves 82.105 of unleased acreage at the present. It's on the docket as item 14-19. Staff does recommend final approval of this operating agreement.
Make a motion for final approval.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold for approval of item 10. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Burrett. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 11.
Item number 11 is a request for final approval of a settlement agreement and a mutual release between the state and Dupree Tract Company and Dupree Lands. It's a settlement on acreage of former state lease, or state lease 18863, 19999, and 20036 in Red River Parish. The Attorney General's office was given authority to negotiate a settlement on this. And the settlement agreement would give covers 82.106 unleased acres, and it's on the docket as item 14-20.
I'm sorry, one of the state leases needs a correction. It's 20039, not 36.
Oh, excuse me, 39. You're right. Sorry. And staff does recommend that this be given final approval.
Right. Any questions or discussion on item 11?
Make that motion for final approval.
We have a motion for approval based upon staff's recommendation by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Lambert. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. Item 12.
Item 12 was put on here inadvertently. We received a letter of protest, so if you don't, we'll go to item 13.
Okay.
Okay, item 14 is a request by Chesapeake for authority to negotiate an operating agreement on Concursus lands, because the lands are involved in section 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 23, and 24 in township 14 north, range 12 west in Red River and DeSoto Parish. And this is cover, of course, the operating agreement is to cover lands that are maybe involved in a lawsuit. Staff does recommend that they be given authority to negotiate this.
Mr. Heck, to clarify, you
received
a letter of objection to this item, and a copy of the letter of objection is contained in all the board members' packets.
Right.
Item 12? No, this item will handle 12. But 12 is the exact same thing, right? Item 12 is the exact same thing, just worded about the objection?
Yeah.
So handling, and it's the same. It's the same agreement in sections. Is that right? Or do you all want to clarify it?
Right. Item 12 is the letter of objection to item 13.
Right. Correct.
And we do have a representative of Chesapeake here.
So all we need to do is address 13,
right?
And correct. Handle both of them.
Correct.
Because it's the same issue. Right?
Right.
Okay. Can you identify yourself?
Yes, thank you. Josh Norris with Jones Walker on behalf of Chesapeake. Don't have too much more to add from what you've already talked about, but if there are any questions or clarification, I'm here to do that.
Any questions or discussion?
I'd like to make a motion to grant staff the authority to negotiate.
All right. We have a recommendation by Mr. Arnold, or a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation. We have a second by Mr. Klein. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Now, item number 14 is a request by Hillcore Energy for consent to suspend royalty payments on the CIVOP RASUA unit involving portions of State Lease 734, 21150, 21152, and 21157. And there'll be an explanation here if the board wants.
Right. Any questions or discussion from the board? On item 14, do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Bouillette, for approval based upon staff's recommendation. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 15.
Okay. Item number 15, Mr. Devitt will address that item.
Right. There was a request at a previous meeting for an explanation of the board and the staff's policies with regard to escrow accounts. You have in your packets a presentation that we've given in the past. The first few pages show you on our website how to get to the policy, which is available to the public. And this arises from the question of, when a bona fide title dispute arises, what does the lessee do? And if you'll look at the page that has the header notification, there is an extract from a typical current paragraph 18 of our state lease, which is summarized that the lessee must notify the Office of Mineral Resources
if a dispute involving the state's ownership or title to any portion of the lease premises arises, that notification must be in writing, and a survey plat should clearly identify the disputed acreage. In lieu, then, of continued full payment to the Office of Mineral Resources, the lessee may request authorization from the board to escrow those revenues from the disputed premises. They may email an advanced copy of that request to us and make that request no later than 10 days prior to a board meeting, and then it will get on the agenda. If the request is granted by the board, the following requirements are standard: authorization is good for 90 days from the date authorized, or if an extension is requested, another 90 days hence, or until a concursus petition is filed, which means that those escrowed monies are put into the registry of the court, or until some other way of resolving the dispute occurs. The reporting requirements during the suspension of those payments or the escrowing of those payments are a form that's called the SR9. It's a report made to our auditing section, and then we ask for copies of the deposits or bank statements. The next page shows you a typical SR9, and then the next page shows a bank statement we might receive. Key points for the SR9 form are: only one report for each type of product should be given to us daily, and then using the online template. The account requirements, the escrow account requirements, are that it must be interest-bearing, and then the account must be in a financial institution having a presence in Louisiana, and that is the extent of our policy on that.
Is there any, no action needed, right?
This all for information only.
Any questions or discussion? Okay. If not, Ed?
I just want to say, looks really good. It's really clear. And for us that don't know very much about anything outside of rent law, you know, it makes some sense.
Okay.
So I appreciate that.
Any questions? We'll be glad to address them.
All right. The next item is item 16, and it's a discussion of a new lease form. It might be a little lengthy, so maybe at this time we entertain a motion to go into recess. Everyone can go grab a bite of lunch and come back here at 12:30. It's 11:40 now, so 41. So do I have a motion to recess? Motion by Mr. Cadero, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We're in recess. We'll be back here at 12:30 to reconvene. When do we get lunch?
I was just talking to Dan a few minutes ago. Really
the leases, the new leases. I'm gonna recommend that we get that finished with before we do this.
I'd like to just we're gonna go into docket committee, handle that, maybe open the regular board meeting and approve everything that we've had up to this time, and then we'll go back to the legal and title controversy committee so we can review this lease. Yeah, and just to let you all know, I believe you're aware that we're going to be discussing the proposal of a new lease form today. And what the staff's going to do is present this proposed new lease and discuss the changes that they're proposing in relation to what the existing leases are. You'll be welcome to ask some questions about it. We're not voting today to accept the new lease or anything. They're just presenting it to us. We're going to give the public some time where you all will be able to see this lease, review it, and make some comments as to whether you feel that the lease changes are good or acceptable to what you all feel or not, and have a chance to discuss it, and then at a later meeting we can consider some of those changes, and then have some other meetings beyond that to possibly approve a new lease or not approve a new lease. So today is merely just a presentation of what this new proposed lease form may be with some of these changes, but it's not a final approval or presentation of a lease. A new lease. Mr. Lambert is going to open up the docket committee.
I'd like to call the docket committee to order and ask the secretary to please call the roll.
I think you have to call it.
Look around. Here you go.
Okay. Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Briette is present. Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders? Mr. Smith? Mr. Colon?
Here.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
Okay, there's a quorum present. I'm going to appoint Mr. Macy Dennis as my designee to present the docket recommendations.
Okay. Good afternoon. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the May 14, 2014 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through item 18. For item number 19, approve subject to the approval of the governor. Please approve items number 20 through 27. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency Lease Transfers, please approve items number 1 through items number 5. For Category B, Advertised Proposals, approve item number 1 subject to the approval of the governor. Please approve items number 2 through items number 10, and that will conclude the recommendation for the Docket Review Committee.
I can complete your presentation. Are there any comments from the general public? Are there any comments from the board? I'll entertain a motion to approve the recommendations of the staff.
I make a motion to approve.
Mr. Arnold makes a motion, seconded by Mr. Cordero. Is there any objection? No objection. So ordered. They're approved. Mr. Chairman. That concludes the work of the docket committee.
All right. At this time, what I'd like to do is entertain a motion to reconvene the regular board meeting, and we'll handle items 2, which is the approval of the April 9th minutes and the adoption of 3 of the committee recommendations, the lease review committee, the nomination track committee, and the audit committee. We have not completed the legal and title controversy, so we'll recess after approval of those 3 committee meetings, committee recommendations, and then go back in legal and title controversy. Recess, go back in the legal and title controversy, and when we finish with those, that committee, then we'll reconvene the board meeting. And I'd like to say we'll also approve the docket review committee. Okay, so do I have a motion to come out of recess of the regular board meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, seconded by Mr. Hike. Any comments, questions, any public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries. We're back in regular session. Now, item 2 is approval of the April 9th, 2014 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Arnold, seconded by Mr. Schutz. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed. The motion carries. Item 2 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. We will adopt 4 of the committee of the committees. That would be A, Lease Review Committee, B, Nomination and Track Committee, C, Audit Committee, and E, as in Echo, the Docket Review Committee. Do you have any questions or discussion on any of those committee recommendations?
I can make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve those committee recommendations A, B, C, and E by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Briette. Any public discussion? Any questions or discussion by the board? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Those committee recommendations are approved. I'd like to recess the regular board meeting to go into legal and title controversy. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Is this the point that we want to put on a record what you and I had discussed?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
But we will. What do you all want to go over the? Oh, so you want to? Okay. What I'm told that we'll do now is instead of recessing to go back in legal and title controversy, we will go. We'll recess for our technical briefing so they can brief us on the bids, and then we'll come back and we'll approve the bids. So
I'll make a motion to go into executive session for technical briefing.
We have a motion to go into executive session for our technical briefing by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We'll be back in a few minutes. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session. Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Schutz. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session. Item five is awarding of leases. I designate Mr. Victor Vaughn to present those bids to us.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Track number 4386. 43887, 43888, 43889, 43890, 43891, 43893, 43894, and 43897 were tracks that the staff is recommending that the bids be rejected for insufficient consideration, and the staff recommends that these tracks be re-advertised with minimums.
All right.
Okay, on track number 43921, the staff received a bid from Riceland Petroleum. The price per acre and the royalty bid were sufficient, but because of the description of the portion that was bid on was incomplete, the staff is recommending that that bid be rejected for improper bid. And if the board so wishes, the board may open up track 43921 for bidding from the floor.
Okay.
As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, the staff will recommend that those bids be accepted.
All right. Do I have any questions or discussion on those bids?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff's recommendation.
Mr. Arnold recommends approval and rejection of the staff's recommendation on the approval and rejection of those noted by the staff. Those bids noted by the staff. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Briette. Is there any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Those bids are approved.
I'll make a motion that we open track number 43921 to the floor.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to consider track number 43290 to be bid from the floor.
43921.
Yeah, 43921.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's track number 43921.
Correct.
And we have a motion by Mr. Arnold to have that track bid from the floor. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Klein. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. The bid, we will now have a bid. Having received a motion and a second, to have track number 43921 offered for bidding from the floor. Do I have any bids from the floor on track number 43921 containing 538 acres?
Yes, sir, you do. My name is Pat Theophilus, owner president of Theophilus Oil and Gas. I am here on behalf of Iceland Petroleum Company. When the bid was submitted, as far as the closure of the traverse itself, on the track itself, it wasn't a complete closure. I believe there was the coordinates were inadvertently put into the system. We would like the description to read as follows. That portion of state track 43921 being more fully described as follows. Beginning at a point on the northwest corner of state lease number 21350, having coordinates of x equals 1,639,062.00 and y equals 646,783.00. Then south, approximately 1,365 feet along the west line of said state lease number 21350 to its southwest corner. Said corner also being a point on the south line of section 16, township 7 south, range 1 west. Thence along the boundary of said section 16, the following courses. Westerly, approximately 1,334 feet to its southwest corner, and northeasterly, approximately 1,343 feet to the point of intersection with an east-west line having a coordinate of y equals 646,783.00. This east, approximately 1,324 feet to the point of beginning, containing approximately 41 acres. This was a portion bid as well. We would like to go ahead and bid the same terms, which is a three-year term, offering the state a cash payment of $12,382 or $302 per acre. Our rental is $6,191. Our royalty is 25%.
All right. Are there any other bids from the floor on track number 43921? Going once, going twice. Bidding on track number 43921 is now closed. What's the staff's recommendation on the bid received for track number 43921?
Mr. Chairman, how many acres were bid?
excuse me. It was 41 acres. It was a portion bid.
Okay. The staff would recommend that the bid by Wiseland Petroleum with the corrected description be accepted.
All right. You have a motion and a second to accept the staff's recommendation on track number 43921.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments? Any public comments? Having received a motion and a second on the recommendation, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. So that bid is accepted.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Vaughn, is there any other business?
No, sir, that's it.
Good. Thank you. This time, we will adjourn the regular board meeting.
Recess?
I'm not adjourn. I'm sorry, recess the regular board meeting, go back into the Legal and Title Controversy Committee to finish the business there. Do you have a motion to recess the board, the regular board meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Bouillet. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. We're back. I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of recess for the Legal and Title Controversy Committee. Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hike. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We're on item
16. The final item.
All right.
Before we begin, let us give you a little background.
Yeah.
At the August 11, 2010 meeting, the staff presented to the board details of proposed changes to the lease form. A copy of that presentation is included in your binders. The new lease form was developed after reviewing other state lease forms, the federal lease form, lease forms of large private landowners, as well as considering best practices in the industry and issues that have arisen in the past. At the August 11, 2010 meeting, the board authorized the staff to distribute the proposed new lease form for public comment. Accordingly, we posted the new lease form on the department's website and requested that written comments be submitted by a certain date. At the request of one party, we subsequently extended the term an additional 2 to 3 months. Written comments were received from 15 parties. Copies of those comments are included in your binders. The staff reviewed and carefully considered each comment submitted. Based upon the comments received, the staff agreed that some changes were appropriate, while other changes received were not in the best interest of the state. There were 20 comments in all received from industry that we would like to present to you. We have a group of us that anyone in their area of expertise could probably answer better than me. Having said that, I would like to go over the 20 comments and our comments to the industry comments, and then you earmark those areas that we have not clarified for you so that we may have the appropriate personnel up here to address it. So with your permission, I would like to move forward in that fashion.
All right.
The first comment is parties commented that the bonding requirements in the new lease form were too onerous. The current lease form does not provide for bonding. The new lease form provides for a bond of not less than $1 million for the plugging and abandonment of wells drilled and damages caused by lessee's operations. The bond amount should be increased if deemed necessary at the discretion of the board. Industry commented that the bond requirement was too high and should be reduced. The staff decided that the original bond be reduced to $500,000, but that it could be increased if enumerated circumstances warranted it. The staff is recommending to the board that the bond be reduced to $500,000. Comment number two was an additional cash payment for additional state-owned acreage.
May I ask a question on that issue?
Yes.
Mr. Farmer, do you have any idea what the cost of a bond would be?
At this time, no, sir, I don't.
Is it possible that you could try to determine that for the next discussion on this issue?
Yes,
for us?
We'll attempt.
And also, if I remember correctly, as I read through some of the comments on that issue, some of the smaller producers were concerned about having to purchase cumulative performance bonds at that amount. Is there a way, or could there be a consideration of an aggregate, if you will?
Well, let me address that, if you don't mind, sir. What happens is, in the past, when there was no bonding requirement, the larger companies, which usually got the lease in the first place, would have the bond waived by Commission of Conservation, saying we're a large enough company, we're financially stable, we don't need a bond, we can plug the wells. But as they successively let part of those wells go to different companies, which were maybe not financially...
What do you mean, go to those different... You mean assign or something?
Right, they assign portions of the lease to other companies which were not as financially capable as they were, and say the lease itself ended up with a company that's not financially responsible. The commissioner normally did not go back to the first lessee to P&A wells. He goes back to the party that has the lease at the time, and if that party is not financially capable, then the commissioner assumes responsibility for plugging and abandoning those wells. So what we're doing here is we're making it, the company that initially gets the lease puts up a bond that's sufficient to cover its operations, whatever they are. If they want to assign a portion of the lease, then the party that it's going to be assigned to also has to be financially responsible. Now, that means they might have to put up a bond for the portion that they get. This is to protect the state from having to have a bunch of wells that are not, that the state is responsible for plugging and abandoning.
Mr. Devitt, you might want to address the other things the bond covers. It covers right. all of the lease obligations, not just the plugging and abandoning of the wells.
Right. We have been in discussions about other lease obligations being secured by the bond, such as the payment of royalties.
Right. But, again, that's correct. And it covers the results of operations on the lease. And that might not just be plugging and abandoning. It might be pits or those kind of things that have not been addressed in the past.
Is there any merit, though, to trying to figure out a scheme where a small operation would not have to put up a bond over and over and over again, is what I'm trying to say, in an aggregate form, if you would?
Well, I'm not sure there's a way that, depending on what operations that smaller company has, if that smaller company assumes the operation of 12 or 13 wells, and there's no other financial responsibility for those wells, then that's the company that the Commission of Conservation usually goes to for P&A its wells. And if that company is not financially responsible, the Commission of Conservation goes no further than that, and the state will become responsible. So what we're trying to do here is make the parties that operate the leases be responsible for cleaning and cleaning up the area, cleaning the wells.
I understand that. And also would suggest that with regards to these bonding requirements, that you may look at, you know, Title 33, as I'd mentioned once before, in terms of public works contracts and the requirements for public work contracts, and maybe look at some of the language in Title 33 that could be used in this regard.
We'll certainly look into that, definitely. What we're trying to do is just have a financially responsible party available to P&A wells and to do other cleanup on a lease rather than make the state assume that liability.
No question. That's good.
Okay.
Comment number two is an additional cash payment for additional state-owned acreage is too onerous. This provision does not exist in the present lease form. If state acreage was advertised and awarded as 20 acres, and subsequently it was claimed to be 35 acres, the lessee would be liable to the state for additional bonus consideration for the newly discovered 15 acres. Industry requested clarification, and the staff revised the initial language by making this provision apply to acreage existing at the time the lease was granted but not included. It shall also exclude lands that erode while the lease is in effect, as well as excluding lands adjudicated to the state after the lease is granted. This can be found in your... I put the references to the paragraphs. That can be found in paragraph 1 of page 4 I don't think I was able to get this to you. The first comment that we talked about, the bonding issue, if you refer to paragraph 4 or make a note on your information in front of you, item comment number 1, the under the proposed new lease form can be found on paragraph 4, page 9. Comment number 2, again, can be found in paragraph 1 of page 4.
Mr. Fortner, we can send out a copy of your document with all the references to the board members later.
All right.
So they'll have a complete copy.
Very good.
And Mr. Fontenot and Mr. Heck, my reference to bonding requirements, I would suggest you take a look at Swift Energy comment bullet point number 2, which talks about duplicative efforts as it relates to multiple bonds, and take that in consideration as you review that requirement.
Right.
Comment number 3, parties commented that requiring the release of deep rights at the end of the primary term is too soon. The provision does not exist in the present lease form. Currently, if a well is producing on the lease premises beyond the primary term, all depths are maintained by lessee as long as the lease is in effect. Staff agreed that due to the complications of deep drilling, additional time should be given for lessees to explore the deep production potential. This provision has been revised to allow lessee the right to explore their deep production potential until 2 years beyond the primary term for additional rental payments if exercised. Comment number 4, parties commented that the definition of pollution should be more narrowly described. This provision is not satisfactorily defined in the present lease form. It reads as follows. Lessee further agrees that it will comply with all minimum water quality standards validly adopted by said governmental authorities with respect to oil pollution and noxious chemicals and waste being introduced into affected water areas. Industry suggested clarification, and staff accommodated by adopting the following definition. Pollution shall be deemed to include without limitation the intrusion of oil, natural gas, liquid or liquefied hydrocarbons, or carbon dioxide into any segment of the environment not previously containing same or any environmental damage or contaminations by revised statute 30:29 or revised statute 30:2015.1.
You know, can I ask you something? These, are they 20 lease comments?
Yes, sir.
Are these just shorter versions of these letters that were received in 2010?
Yes, sir, they are.
Not to say that they're not relevant or that they're not important, but considering that it has been some time in between, do we need to go through those, or do you just really need to go to the actual lease and describe what the current leases have and what these new proposals are to be put in the lease, and then at a time when, because since we're not deciding today and that we are going to give the public a certain amount of time to digest this new lease and come back to us with some comments and discussions and suggestions, maybe we can consider it then.
I think that's fine.
And if we need to make these letters available to the public so that they can review them, that would be fine too.
I think
unless you made changes based on each one of those 20, or you considered them or didn't consider them, or, I mean, obviously you considered all of them, but you didn't make a change based upon every recommendation, right?
We're not trying to fly through this, but this is the quick and easiest way to present the comments that industry has.
And you're right, we are not recommending changes based on all of our comments. Some of them we can't make, and some of them we didn't think were necessary. So what we're presenting today is what we thought was a shorter version of what was given to us. But if the board wants us to just give a quick synopsis, we can certainly do that.
Of the lease.
I want to appreciate just a comparison of the new and old.
Yeah, the new and the old. You can make these comments available to anyone who wants about them, but I would say that we're starting this anew, so maybe we not to say we're not considering those changes, but they're 4 years old, and whoever made those comments may not be around. So obviously, this is going to stimulate some discussion and suggestions, and maybe we can consider those.
Well, what we can certainly do is make the new lease form of what is available to the public.
Right.
Let them look it over, and then make comments maybe next meeting or a meeting afterwards.
As a draft.
What we'll do is, well, first of all, I want to point out to the board the items highlighted in yellow in the list one that you emailed.
Right.
Those are the new parts. And you also have copies of a PowerPoint presentation Mr. Heck had prepared that shows what was in the existing lease form and what's proposed in the new one. Unfortunately, they did not prepare that same type of presentation for today. They were preparing to tell you what we did change based on the comments, but we can prepare that for next month, and they could move on and skip their presentation and move straight to the recommendation if that's what the board desires.
Yeah, I'd like to, at least I would, unless anyone else has anything to talk about. What is this new lease, and what are you adding? Or changing.
Again, it's stated in here, but I understand what you've asked for, and we'll do both. Since you have this, I will give you the footnote of where it's found for your convenience in the lease form, and then we can prepare a lease form with the old and the new, and then the two instruments together should give a lot of clarity for your decisions as to how you want to move forward.
And since they don't have that presentation prepared for today, if they try to talk about it off the top of their heads, they may forget a key point since they're not prepared.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what he's reading from. I was kind of lost. I was trying to figure out what he was reading.
A packet was sent to you all last week. I received it on Friday. I believe it was FedEx to everyone. And in it, it had a copy of this proposed lease form with these highlights in it. There was also a number of these letters, mostly or all from 2010, which were these comments based upon the lease suggestions back then. And then there were these various PowerPoint presentations of a new proposed lease form, and it was a comparison of the new and old lease forms. And based upon categories, I would guess, or various specific items in the lease. And then...
So these are those made available to the board members? Just the board members.
As yet, these items have just been sent to the board members. We were waiting for board authorization to release it to the public, and which is one of Mr. Fontenot's recommendations. We will take the comparison and contrast document and we'll refresh it and have it prepared and ready to present next month. And Mr. Fontenot, would you like to go forward and mention what you recommend as our path forward from here?
Well, it kind of changed from what I hear from the board. We were going to recommend that the board granted authority to the staff to meet with the 15 parties who had previously submitted comments prior to the June board meeting, and that other interested parties be allowed until June the 10th, 2014, to submit written comments about the proposed lease form, and that we'll report back to the staff at the June 11th, 2014 meeting.
So you're going to ask the ones that submitted comments in 2010, as well as anyone now that has any comments?
Well, I guess probably the fair way to say that is we would probably have to post that on our website like we did back in 2010, because the majority of the people other than the 15 who we would notify
The 15 is from 2010?
Correct.
Well, I think it's important that we open this to everyone. I'm not sure 30 days is no problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
May I make a comment?
Mr. Hines.
It just seems to me this is a very, in my mind at least, there's a lot that's thrown at this board in a short period of time.
Right.
But this, to me, is one of the most significant things that I've seen since I've been sitting in this chair the last month or so. First, I think everybody that has a lease right now should be notified that, hey, the state is looking at a new lease, and here it is. Maybe we should send a copy of this new lease to all leaseholders.
Yes, Mr. Hike, that is our intention. If the board authorizes us to release this proposed document, we will have it posted on our website this afternoon, and we will send an email to not only current leaseholders, but anybody who is a registered prospective leaseholder, and we'll notify all of them of the posting of it, a link to it, and the comment period.
And second, my thought is that we should devote considerable time to looking at this lease. And maybe, Mr. Chairman, with indulgence of the committee, we should have a special meeting just on this particular lease, but, and then maybe ask staff to break it up into sections so that we can consider, you know, parts of the lease in separate sections and ask people, you know, from section 1 to 5, what comments you might have. And that's, you know, just, this is a long list.
Right.
I tried to read it and I got turned around.
Well, let me
didn't know what direction I was in.
Yeah, and I have some suggestions on maybe reorganizing some of these comments. But this lease, which is just a working draft, shall we say, because this has been so long, is it virtually the same lease, but paragraphs were changed or added, or is it a completely rewritten lease from you know, it's not the same lease with
additional changes? A new lease form.
Okay.
Yeah, there's very few paragraphs that are exactly the same as the present lease form.
Mr. Schultz?
Yeah, I think for the purposes of today's meeting, the staff is looking for approval from the board to circulate a draft of a lease out there to solicit input again based upon the changes that were recommended to the current lease form based on that public comment, and to have the ability to meet with some parties during that time, that comment period, to explain sort of this is what we see, what do you see, and have that back and forth dialogue to try to understand each other better. I do agree that we need to understand the lease form and the changes that have been made as well as we can during that time period as well, so that we can make good decisions here as a board. I think if the staff can kind of present a high level to us today of here are the items that are different, can you do that today?
No. I'm not
looking for detail, but bonding. You know,
No. What we did for today was prepare on those items which were commented on previously, but not that's by far not all of the items that have changed in the lease form. Now, if that's what you want, because we didn't get comments on all the items.
Only question, not to minimize their relevance, but we're starting new. And so until you, I don't know why we are somewhat debating what was considered 4 years ago rather than,
right,
let's start new and get some, this is what we're thinking, let's, what are your suggestions and comments, and then kind of filter that out and then move forward.
As you said, it's hard to discuss this item with board members even right now. We haven't seen the new lease form, or we haven't had time to digest it. So you can certainly have, if you want to, read it, you know, have 1 or 2 months, however long you think is necessary for you as a board to digest the lease form, have your questions. In the meantime, we can put it out to the public and let them have comments, say, next month, and then we'll address the comments to the board all the comments.
Off the top of my head, I'll tell you some of the major changes, but please understand, we're not prepared, so if I forget something, forgive me. Yes, bonding requirements are new, based on our concern about abandoned wells on state property, but also the board's concern about people who don't pay the royalty. We're trying to find some mechanism for recovering royalty when people pull out of the state. Insurance requirements are new to the lease form. They are not new to the operating agreement. A lot of the things that we have proposed for the new lease form are things that are currently in existence in the operating agreement and have been working well. The royalty provision has been completely rewritten based on problems we've encountered in interpretations as to what is allowable deductions and what is not allowable deductions. The force majeure clause has been rewritten to divide it into two parts. True force majeures, which would be acts of God, and suspending events, right, which would be rig availability and other equipment availability issues, because we've had people who have taken advantage of that in the past. They've been separated into two different provisions with mostly the same requirements, but a more a greater burden of proof for a suspending event. If the staff can help me out, you can think of other things.
The recognition of deep right releases are what's commonly known in the industry as a horizontal pew clause. That's a new concept.
Yeah, that is new.
A unit survey after 90 days.
Right. We've had a lot of trouble getting unit plats or survey plats to identify the state's interest in property. When that happens, the state's royalty that we collect goes into a suspense account until we can get a survey plat, or sometimes the state will do a rough estimate of what our interest is so we can allocate the money, because the whole thing is in suspense. The state can't spend it. The parishes don't get their share. If any of it goes to Wahoo Fisheries, all of it is just on hold until we get the survey plats. Force measure, yes, sir. And there's a provision for a single payer per rule code. It's very difficult to determine what is due us from different interests, and we have multiple payers on a rule code. And we've been doing this in the operating agreement for a while, and it's working well. Can the staff think of anything else?
Tightened up the environmental definitions have been changed to be more inclusive, I think.
Okay. Can I ask one more question on as far as the process? You had a lease that was put out in 2010, I believe, is right. Correct?
Correct.
And now there are, the item before us today is, do we put forth the draft that you have prepared for public comment right now? That's the right. First item before us. So my question would be, you've made some changes based upon industry and public comment.
Correct.
To this lease form.
Correct.
Are there other changes that you have made to this lease form from what was put on public comment other than those items that were addressed in that public comment period?
There are other changes, yes, but they weren't as significant. That's why.
They are not substantive changes.
As substantial as the ones we commented on, because that's the ones that got comments from the public. But I can see the point of putting it out again and letting them comment on it, because there are some changes that they didn't see 4 years ago.
And my question is only that, should the board have more input on or information on what those changes are that are made? Certainly something was done in 2010.
Right.
It was made available for public comment. Changes that are made to that document based on that you're proposing here that you go over with the board, I understand,
right,
that we move with those. There are other substantive changes. I'd like to hear about those today before we make a decision. Is it okay to put this one out for public comment? And if those are not substantive changes, then perhaps what the board would elect to go ahead and go out with public comment at this time for, I would suggest, at least a 30-day period of public comment, and then authorize the staff to meet with folks and discuss items and concerns, because we want to hear everything everyone has to say, digest it, and make good decisions.
Well, two of the things that we've changed since 2010. Well, first of all, In April 2012, the board adopted four new lease form provisions, and those are going in the current leases. They weren't in the 2010 version. All four of those have been added.
They're in the current lease form today, though?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, that's...
Dividing the force majeure provision into two different provisions, one for true force majeures, one for suspending events, that is new that we just put in this year. A single payer per rule code, that is new. Can you help me with anything else we may have put in within the last few months?
I think those are pretty much covered. I mean, we had four provisions, too.
She named them.
Yeah. I think you've named the ones we have in force right now.
Well, you have the
OIL. Mr. Fontenot, if you skip down to item six on your agenda, which is additional proposed changes based on issues that have arisen since the meeting was drafted. That should cover everything.
Yes.
You have that in your outline, item number six.
On page three?
I just have an outline. I don't have your entire presentation.
This is where parties commented at the provision for minimum royalties.
It's after the section entitled Recent Board Activity on the Proposed New Lease Form. The section after that is titled Additional proposed changes based upon issues that have arisen since the new lease form was drafted.
Yes, that's. Would you like for me to recite those?
Yes, sir. That's what the secretary is asking about, and that would be a comprehensive list and not rely on my memory.
Okay, you were pretty accurate. The first one is the force majeure language should be divided into two categories: traditional force majeure events and other suspending events. The second was off-lease operations and other non-drilling activities do not constitute drilling operations for the purpose of maintaining a lease. For example, one lessee attempted to use work on an off-site saltwater disposal well to maintain lease, although there were no operations being conducted on the lease premises. A third of the additional proposed changes was marketing expenses or not allowable deductions from royalty. The definition of deductions needed to be clarified to ensure that unintended items are not deducted from royalty payments. And finally, when a lease is not included in a unit, there should be one payer per lease. This provision has been included in operating agreements for a few years. This provision is needed to ensure that the state has been appropriately compensated for its production.
Right.
No. Go ahead.
I'm not sure this is out of order, but I would like to make a motion in the committee for all this information has been given to us concerning that the draft and lease form, the changes in lease forms, the comments and questions from 2010 be made available to the public.
Oh, right.
That way it'll be up for discussion.
Right.
And come back in the July or the August meeting.
Probably
in 60 days now.
I think along the lines of, unless I'm talking inside your motion, but
let's make it public first. Yeah. And send the first motion with that. Make it available to the public.
Please state it again.
That all information given to us today, the draft of the new lease, the changes in the lease, and the answers to the comments and questions in 2010 be made available to the public.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold. Second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Klein. Any discussion?
I don't quite understand your motion.
Well, I want to get all information out there so we can make comments.
All he's saying is he wants this information made public so that the public can have time to read it, ingest it, and come back with any comments.
Is that sufficient time for, if we make this information public, is that sufficient time for the public to weigh in and in the interim staff can meet with the public?
He didn't put a time period. He just
got it.
Okay. Any public comment? Right. No. Yes.
Please come to the microphone.
I believe this is Pat Theopolis.
Right. Please identify yourself.
Okay, this is Pat Theophilus again, Theophilus Oil and Gas. My question is this going to be the new form as well as the new form in 2010, both of those forms going out to the public, as well as when the public had reviewed this? I was kind of...
This would be just the current version. There have been many changes, and we'll put out the most current version.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, it would seem to me, I don't know why you need to confuse the two. Just come out with a new version,
right,
and then start fresh from there.
Good deal. That's my concern. Thank you.
Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is David C., and I'm land manager for Century Exploration New Orleans. We did write a letter and comment, and I'm also on the board of directors of the Petroleum Landmen's Association in New Orleans, and we sent a letter in that was a little more detailed with a lot of comments. So, first of all, I think it would be good to put this all out to the public and get comments again, because we had new players that weren't involved in the state of Louisiana at the time, and some have dropped out. I do think it would be important, once that's published, to ask for additional written comments, but also to have a meeting with everyone to discuss things,
right,
so that we could have a little back and forth going on here. Because I think a lot of the changes are good. Some changes maybe not so much, but that's just my opinion from my vantage point. But I think some interaction would be a good thing to have. And... And this is a very complicated process, like Mr. Hike indicated. It's one thing to reach an agreement on concepts, but then the actual language in the lease is very important, too.
Right.
So that's really the next phase, that it would be good to agree on concepts. But after that, in our committee for the Landman's Association, there were several attorneys on the committee, including a gentleman named Linton Morgan that's been an attorney for decades and was involved in some of these state lease provisions in the past. And he said that in the past, I think these lease forms were reviewed by a committee of lawyers, maybe even at the the Mineral Law Review or something. But, you know, and I think the state is good with considering operators' needs and working with them the best they can, but you're still dealing with a regulatory body. It's a little different when it's the Miami Corp lease and there's something in there that just doesn't fit the situation, and you can call up Gordon Logan, go talk to him, and then you can negotiate something. But when you have a lease form with the state, I mean, that's what it is. And any problems, that there are limitations as to how they can be equitably worked out. So how these things are phrased is very important. So,
can I ask a question?
Mr. Sheet?
Just one question for you. What do you think would be sufficient time for you to digest the changes to the lease and schedule a meeting of a group with the staff to go over and have sufficient time to look at it to have meaningful conversation with the staff about concerns?
That's hard to answer. I mean, the 2010 lease form's been out there. There may be some new operators that haven't seen that would need to look at that for the first time. I'm not clear as to what all of the changes to that 2010 draft are going to be.
Right, and I'm not talking about a final meeting. What I'm saying is you obviously need some time to read this because you haven't seen their new form. You want to have a meeting to discuss what's in the form and give some comment. And then subsequent to that meeting, likely give some formal written comments. Then, based upon changes that are made, people can meet again and discuss what was done and what wasn't done and talk to this board in our next meeting as well.
Once that information is made public, I would think within 4 to 6 weeks you'd get comments back. I mean,
do you think it would be useful to have a meeting?
Well, that way you could, you might want to... 60
days, 90 days?
No, I'd say but a meeting with the staff in 30 days?
That might be a little short.
60 or 90.
So a lot of large companies have to run it through different departments and all that. I would think at least 6 weeks.
But I'm discussing not your written comments, mm-hmm. but dialogue with the staff that you just requested. You're saying that you would need 60 days of reading the lease before you could have that dialogue?
Maybe be a lot. I would think 4 to 6 weeks, and you could have a meeting to discuss things.
So 60 days?
What I would say is,
what?
Go ahead.
Let's put it out there, and you know we've already had a motion and we've approved that to put the documents out there available.
And we can set a time.
Have those out there and let the staff have a meeting with folks. Let's say within 30 days, you know, from today's meeting, people have a chance to look at it, get that input. And then in our, 27 days is our next meeting, right?
Yeah, but 6 weeks is a month and a half. Okay.
Before the June meeting? I think I've just heard that it's going to take them longer than that to go through their corporations. Right. Let's go ahead and do the 6 weeks, and I'll make a motion that we have that meeting within 6 weeks, so that in the July meeting we can get some idea from folks what that input is, and then follow that up with a I guess close of a comment period, probably 30 days after that.
Yeah.
Meeting.
Yeah. Can I ask a question at this point? I know there's a 2000 draft agreement, and then there's been a lot of comments made to that. Is there a more recent draft that incorporates some of those changes?
Yes,
that's what this is.
Okay.
That's what we're looking at and trying to offer. We just authorized to be sent and made available.
That is what will appear. Are the comment letters going to appear also? Or?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. That was the motion. The comment letters and all the changes in response to that will be posted on our website this evening.
Okay.
May I ask another question, gentlemen?
Sir, you brought up something I thought was interesting. The lease is significant because it dictates exactly what has to happen, but the industry is dynamic and changes somewhat. My thought there was, and I don't know if this is possible or maybe a consideration, but should there be some consideration in the lease for regulatory discretion of the various departments in certain areas? And I just mention that as a thought based on what you just said a minute ago, that because of the dynamics of the industry, should there be some discretion within the lease, granting to the department some discretion in certain areas, which would be palatable to their industry?
Well, as things are right now, there are things that there is some give and take with the state. It's not always white and black. I mean, if it's white and black, that's just it. But I know a lot of times we have meetings with the Mineral Board staff or with representatives from conservation, and things are discussed and things are just worked out. And in my experience, the state's pretty fair. I mean,
I'm not saying that
we don't get our way all the time.
What I'm saying is that should there be some discretion in the lease itself to allow certain, by regulation, certain discretion? I don't know.
I'm not an attorney, so I'd have a hard time asking that, because if you put something like that, it could affect some of the language in the lease. I don't know. I really don't think I'm qualified to answer that.
Board, just a point of clarification, if I may. In terms of the comments that I've heard with regard to the fact this is a big undertaking, I agree it is, and we've worked closely with staff on this over the last several years. But with regard to the comment about needing to have a panel of lawyers or something like that review this document. And with all due respect to Linton Morgan, he's a friend of mine, and he is a very accomplished and intelligent mineral attorney. We have done that. And this, as the staff knows, has been through the review and comment process, both in-house. I know Mr. Devitt's put in a lot of time on this, as well as in our office. Through me personally, I've reviewed the entire document multiple times, as has Jackson Logan. The late Jack Jumonville had reviewed and worked on the matter. We've also had several other staff attorneys work on it. So it has, in fact, been through a panel of attorneys looking at drafting legal and technical issues. So I just wanted the record to be clear and for you all to understand that this isn't simply, and with all due respect to the technical folks, a technical document. It has gone through a pretty rough legal review by multiple people. And we certainly welcome whatever direction the board would give us going forward, but it hasn't just been tossed out there without the legal review. So.
Go ahead, Mr. Schutz.
Okay, I had proposed that we, I guess, authorize staff to meet with the a group of people who are interested, those who either commented or otherwise express an interest in meeting within 6 weeks after making this available for public comment. While the last discussion was going on, I sort of tracked out a timeline on what I believe I've heard. And so I will, maybe we need to go ahead and vote on my first motion.
Well, the first thing is Mr. Arnold made a motion to make this information available to the public, right?
Correct.
In summary. So if you want to vote on that, then you can set some timelines, or you can just tell them what the timelines are going to be. So anyway, is there any discussion or questions based upon the motion that's on the motion and second that's on the floor? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Now, Mr. Secretary.
Okay. I'll amend my motion since it was out of order. Okay. So what I'd like to do is make a proposal that we follow this time. Today is May 14th. We make the document available for public comment, and also make available all the information Mr. Arnold just got us to authorize. We have a meeting scheduled for June the 11th. I would request at that meeting that the staff come in and be prepared to provide us with a summary of the changes from the current lease form to what has been put out for public comment. Just a summary of those changes so that we can fully understand what that is. Approximately June 25th is about 6 weeks out. The staff would have a meeting with that group of folks who are interested somewhere around that date. I'm not sticking you to that date because I don't even know what day of the week June 25th is. That way the folks who are interested in that can come on June 11th and also hear what the staff has to say and have discussion. The June 25th meeting. On July 9th, we have a follow-up, another board meeting scheduled. And at that time, the staff could provide us with an overview of their meeting with the interested parties and what was discussed. And we would close the written public comment period on July the 15th, which would be 2 months from today, roughly. So that would give people 60 days for public comment, written public comment, and of course, based upon the comment we received, the debate in the meeting, and all that occurs, we can have subsequent meetings prior to bringing it before the board for action, or if we think a different proposal needs to be made, we can certainly do that. But I'm trying to just get us a path forward that's fair to everyone. And gets us on track to get a new lease form in that, protects the state's interests, but also we don't want to discourage people from doing business here on state lands. And so I'm proposing that timeline, and if anyone has other ideas or feels that's unfair, I'd like to hear from you. Otherwise, I'd
I have a question. The first meeting of everybody, who all is How do we know everyone is notified? I heard before the meeting a lot of people didn't know about it. So it's all leaseholders will be notified of the meeting?
No, the meeting was intended to be with the people who submitted written comments.
But this next
meeting. Those are the only ones that we could identify. We're going to send out a notice to all current and prospective leaseholders to notify them that the information is on the website, and we are seeking additional written comments.
And if they're going to come to the meeting?
Right. Anybody who submits written comments in time for the meeting, then we will certainly invite to the meeting. We have to, if we have to, we'll break it up into more than one meeting. But to have a productive back and forth conversation with the commenters, we need to keep it into a manageable group size.
I'll second the motion.
Or make the motion.
But you,
okay,
you made the motion. I seconded it.
That was the motion?
Yes.
So I read it.
So, we have a motion by Secretary Sheets. We have a second by Mr. Arnold. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. All right.
I don't think we have any other items on our agenda.
Okay. I make a motion to adjourn and legal and title controversy.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to adjourn the legal and title controversy committee. Do you have a second?
Second.
Mr. Klein? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. This time, I'd like to entertain a motion to go back into the regular board meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Klein, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in the regular session of the regular meeting, if we haven't confused you all today enough. We'll go back to item 2D, the Legal and Title Controversy Committee, adoption of that committee's recommendations. Do you have any questions or just any more discussion on those items? Mr. Hike, you wanted to bring something up?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just, for the record, I wanted to state some reasons. We didn't have a chance to state the reasons why there's a rejection of the committee. Staff recommendations on the Gold Ring operating company.
Gold King.
Same thing, right?
Yeah. It may be.
Right. Of them. I don't think there's gold, but we're looking for it. But in discussion with some of my colleagues here, I wanted to take just a few minutes to kind of articulate the reasons. And with all due respect to the staff, and their recommendation was well received by the members of the board, but we made a decision as a board to reject their recommendation, financial recommendation, to settle this matter with the Gold King Operating Company and its principal. The staff made their recommendation in good faith as a result of, I think, an evaluation of rather complex financial issues of the individual and his company.
Mr. Hyde, may I stop you there just for a second? I'm a little cautious about discussing any kind of legal strategy in open session.
Well, I'm not going to talk about strategy.
And certainly, you know, I can't stop you from talking about whatever you want to talk about, but I'm not sure that a detailed explanation is necessary at this point.
Well, except for the fact that, and I'm not going to discuss anything that was discussed in the executive session, but my thought is that there should be some reasoning as to why we rejected the staff recommendations, and it had to do with the fact that there's some complex litigation issues, legal issues that we just did not have the members did not feel they had a complete handle on. And as a result, we've opted to ask staff to file a lawsuit to take an affirmative action, if you will, with regards to this issue to protect the state's interest and its natural resources and explore all reasonable resources that might be available to the state. And I think the decision, at least on my part, for making the motion was the fact that although the staff recommendation was well received, that by filing the lawsuit there could be some additional exploring of whatever resources that the company and or that individual may have readily available to the state. And the significance of it is that apparently this company and this individual does owe the state significant dollars, and so those are the reasons why that recommendation of the staff was rejected and the reason that the motion was made, in my mind at least.
I'd just like to make a brief comment with regard to that, because I feel like the legal advisors here are kind of being thrown under the bus, and all of those issues were considered in making our recommendation. They were factors that we took into account when we made that recommendation. Certainly the board is entitled and welcomed to disagree with that, but I just want it to be clear for the record that those issues, the possible litigation and things like that, were considered. And we did factor that into the calculus for our recommendations. But I certainly welcome the board's dissent with our recommendations on matters. That's the whole purpose of the board. And we will follow y'all's recommendations. And I've sent my other staff attorney back to the office to start working on the litigation issues. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, without further ado, item 3D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee, we need to adopt the committee recommendations. If there's no further discussion or questions or any public comment, do I have a motion to approve those committee recommendations?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold and a second by Mr. Hike. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. All right, item 6, is there any announcements?
Yes, sir. A reminder to the board members that tomorrow is the deadline to submit their ethics disclosure forms to the Ethics Board. As previously stated, the proposed new lease form will be posted on the department's website this afternoon, along with the other information. Written comments regarding the proposed new lease form should be addressed to Rick Heck, Director of Petroleum Lands. And to the board members, instead of a hard copy of your quarterly mineral revenue and production report, we're going to email you a copy of that this month, maybe save half a tree or something. And the total for today's lease sale is $580,974.12, bringing the fiscal year-to-date total to $17.1
million. All right. Thank you. Are there any other announcements? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Mr. Cadero, second by Mr. Klein. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We adjourn.